Hey, welcome. Hi, how are you? You made it to the last night. So glad you guys are here for the third and final night of Contagious. So thank you guys for making this a priority to get here. Glad you guys have come and are excited for Tim to bring the last night as he wraps it all up and we hit it hard. And so we're excited. So hopefully this will be a good night for you guys. But glad you're here. And so poor Steve Downs is feeling a little icky tonight. And so I get to say hello instead of Steve. But so you pray for him. Pray he feels better. He's must be feeling pretty bad if he didn't get here. So anyway, I'm going to start us off with prayer, and then we'll hand it over to Tim and he can get started. Father, thank you so much just for a chance to come again to dive into your word and see what you have for us as we finish up this study on Contagious and what it means to be fired up and following you. And thank you for your word and for the truth. As we dive into your scripture, pray that you would just reveal things to us that we need to be aware of, that we need to be working on. Continue to use Tim to teach us and use him as your mouthpiece tonight. Pray that we just be changed and transformed and that we'd be following you closer as we leave tonight. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, and for his work on the cross that we could be your children. We love you so much and give this night to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Good to have you guys here. Are you ready? All right. Hey, we've been walking through what does it mean to be transformed, and then how do I go about doing that? And transformation, that's a word you hear a lot in the church. And quite frankly, a lot of times we have no clue what it even means, right? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight as we move along, as we get through a piece of this. Let's make sure we even understand what the target is that we're going after, all right? I thought we'd start out with the review piece here. Let's make sure we put the first 2 weeks kind of under our belt and make sure we get it, okay? So starting out with that triangle, if you want to call it the triangle of transformation, I don't know. That's the best we could do for now. That's what we got. The word, the worship, and the will. And so letter A there. Victory over sin can be ours. God does the transforming work. Victory over sin can be ours. God does the transforming work. Absolutely huge for us to understand that Romans chapter 6 and 7 is the unleashing of God's power, a promise of victory, all because of him. And we have to get that square. It is his power unleashed in us that gives us that victory, okay? It's not us muscling it through. Letter B, transformation is ultimately the perfecting of your worship. Transformation is ultimately the perfecting of your worship. The more you are transformed, the more you will celebrate your God just as you're supposed to. The more that your heart is turned over to him, the more that he changes you from one degree of glory to the next, the more you will be in awe of him. Transformation, it's ultimately about your worship, okay? Letter C, transformation requires cooperation. It doesn't mean that it's all God. We just sit around, go up on a mountaintop, hang out, don't do anything. God will change you. That's not the biblical transformation we're called to. Just so you know, a lot of people tried that over the years, right? You look at the monks and they just, like, let's get away, man. We're just going to get away from all the distraction and we're going to try to let God do his thing. And it's just me alone with him. And that's actually not what God's calling us to. He's calling us to a very interactive thing, but he's in charge. He's got it going on. It is a cooperation. And we'll talk more about how we do that tonight. Letter D. So here's a couple of the facets. We talked about the first night, Pastor Steve bringing it with the word, facets of it being the word. And I put the number one point. It helps us encounter the living God. Man, all too often we go to the word because we want to be able to check a box and say we went to the word. Or we go to the word because somebody asked a question and I couldn't answer that question and I want to be able to answer that question. So I'm going to go study the information on that question so I can answer the question. But it became all about me. In the midst of that, right? And now I've got facts and I could pass the quiz, man. Doesn't matter what test you give me, I can pass. And we forgot about this one little thing. It's encountering your living God that the word's supposed to be all about. May he rock you with who he is. May he stun you with how he works. May he reveal himself to you in your everyday life as you saw it modeled in Scripture and clarified in Scripture, okay? So it's for encountering the living God. Number two there, get a clearer view of your God. You know, we read that letter on Sunday. It's all too often we can mess up the message or the painting or the picture or the image, however you want to say it, of who God is. And we get a clearer view of Him. That's the word. Number two there, the worship. This is a big deal from last week. Everybody say, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And for this area, I just say Bible Belt, Illinois, okay? Central Illinois, where we've been taught hard what the word is. Now go do it. And so there's this word and action call. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer, right? And so we get those two together, but we never actually got a worship going. Now we start trying to muscle it. All of a sudden, that worship piece becomes everything for you. It's the piece you've been missing. And so for a lot of you, you've been muscling it along. You get some victory and then a lot of failure and you're frustrated. And last week was a huge breakout for a lot of people as they started seeing it in a fresh way. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, we do have these videos up on. Hopefully you got an email from us. We've got the videos up online. You can go back and watch those. Get it out to a friend. The worship video last week, the clarity of the Holy Spirit's work, what He's doing, how we come before Him, His glory changing us. It's not me changing me. It's God's glory changing me. Huge deal. All right. So here we go. How do we do that? Number one, spiritually breathe. Spiritually breathe. You know, we didn't say this illustration last week, but we breathe quite a bit every day, right? Hopefully you breathe a little bit physically every day, and we don't just wake up in the morning and go, okay, I'm going to breathe today. Time to go to work. And like we breathe once all day long. And the first 3 minutes went well. The rest of the day, not so well, right? But what do we do with Scripture? Like we stand up, we get up in the morning, we spiritually breathe once, and then we're done the rest of the day, maybe even for a couple days. And you're suffocating yourself spiritually. Breathing, it's a regularity, it's an ongoing, it's a constant throughout the day. It's a, Lord, help me grasp more of You and celebrate You and help me confess what needs to go. It's continuous and ongoing, all right? Breathing, a great illustration there is the ongoing nature of it. And another illustration to get the picture of it. We're told to be filled, right? It's in the passive form. And so I just wanted to help this get clear. How do I do when I'm supposed to not be doing, right? And how does that all work? I don't quite get being actively passive. How does that go? And so maybe think of it this way. Picture a sailboat, okay? And so your goal is to get filled here. And so you're turning the sailboat into the direction of the current. That would be like getting in alignment with God. That's the confession, the breathing out, turning into alignment with Him, confessing, okay? Then you're like raising up the sail, getting that sail set on the sailboat. That's the inhaling, the celebrating who He is, how awesome He is, getting perspective to Him. Now you're lined up with God, your sail is set, and the Holy Spirit fills, and the rest of the action is His. Okay? You've got a little bit of action to do as you get yourself set with Him, but He's filling and taking on from there. Does that make sense? Are you seeing that? That's a huge deal. All too often we fight and we wrestle against the current with no sail up and we're trying to do it all ourselves. And spiritually breathing, that's not what it's about. It is about Him doing the work. Okay? So spiritually breathing, number two, beholding His glory leads to becoming more like Him. Beholding leads to becoming. There is no shortcut. Beholding leads to becoming. The more you get to know Him, the more you see Him work in your life, the more you celebrate Him and confess what's wrong in you based on what you've seen of Him, the more you actually get His glory pouring over you and Him changing you from one degree of glory to the next. Beholding is what leads to becoming, okay? Number three here, He transforms from one degree of glory to the next. He transforms from one degree of glory to the next. Sometimes God does a couple real fast, but usually He's just kind of taking His time, moving through with us, helping to teach us what we need to let go of, what we need to grab onto, what we need to know of Him. One degree at a time. Patience in the process. All right. And number four, amazing. Isn't it amazing how God restores when we get back to right worship? See, the original problem is we blew the worship. We make it all about us. We're going after sin and self and me and right. And so what's God's fix? Get back to right worship and the whole thing starts coming around. It's that simple. It's making sure we put God rightfully in the place of king in our life. And all of a sudden he takes over from there. All right. That's a quick review of word and worship. Just kind of whirlwind fast. If you didn't get through the worship piece with us last week, make sure you get to that video online. It's a big deal. We spend a lot of time on it. All right. Works, the will. That's what we're talking about tonight. And I want to be so careful here. If we're not careful, we're going to end up teaching a bunch of actions and we'll forget last week and all of a sudden we're right back where we were, right? So the will, we've got to be very cautious with it, but still engage with it. All right, so we put some verses down, some things we need to know. Let's start out this way. The will, the original design. Original design. Letter A here, he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So filling that in, we are created for the purpose of glorifying God in all we do. Glorifying God in all we do. Did you know that? No matter what you're doing, dude, you don't know my job. And I'm a garbage man and I'm working with the muck all day long and glorifying God in all you do. That's what it looks like. Everything you do, God's saying, hey, you can have an attitude towards, a temperament about, an approach with, seeing me in, helping, being able to be a witness, glorifying God in all you do. Letter B, we are created to take part in good works. We are created to take part in good works. There is nothing wrong with saying that our life should be about works. We have to be very careful, though. Everybody listen carefully to this. We are not saved by good works. We do not keep our salvation by good works, but we can honor our God and thank him and worship him with good works. Okay? We can be about it and not saved by it. That's a big difference. Okay? And people always want to try to couple the two together. If we're supposed to be about it, then it must be about the salvation. Wrong answer. That would start to put me up as good enough. And that's not the solution biblically. All right? So we just got this from Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. From the beginning of time, God knew you and prepared for you to be walking in some good works that could worship him and celebrate him. Check this. Our God is a doing God. He is about activity, not mindless activity or useless activity, but he is about doing. God isn't just about knowing and sitting and contemplating. He does get engaged, and he's calling us to be the same, engaged, okay? Letter C, we are created to be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. Scripture we've heard a lot. We are created to be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. So do not be just doers of the word, or be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, James chapter 1. Look, that is kind of the basics to the original design of works. We're going to be about works. It's not a saving thing, but it's a worship thing. And we're designed for it, and God's got thoughts in it, and let's be about that, and works, right? Then, of course, we come in and make it all about us, and we train wreck the whole thing. And now it's all sin and self and me. And this works thing's kind of hanging on there. And like, how do those play together now? And do they have any role in the restoration or anything? And what do we do with that? All right. So let's start talking about how they come together. All right. So the will, it is the follow through. It is the follow through. This is a big deal. We've got to get this. I'm telling you this. Do not execute the will based on having read the word. Let's go do. The will is follow through. It comes off of worship. It comes off of all that we talked about last week. It comes off of this deep experiencing and beholding of God. This private time between you and him. This confessing out of sin. This being filled by him. Then, everybody say then. Then we go after the will. All right? If we get that order, you will be amazed at what God does in your life. Okay? So it is the follow-through. Letter A. God imparts the change and even gives the will. This is a huge deal. Philippians chapter 2, he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Sounds like works, right? For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Did you know that? God's got a pressing in your soul. He's teaching you. He's enabling you. He's giving you the very longings of what to go after. It comes from worship. Spend the time in worship. This gets imparted unto you and you're moving. Okay? It's like the sail being filled and you're headed the right direction. Make sure you get that order right, or you're struggling going, I don't know. I'm not sure I really feel this thing and what's really happening. And big deal. Worship first. Okay? Letter B. Works do not transform. Meaning make different in kind. Works do not transform. Only the Spirit does. Okay? Now, I put some verses here, and I want to read through these. It's a big deal. Colossians chapter 2. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of this world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to the things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. Like, why are you following these rules, man-made and slammed down and boundaries on? And why are you doing that? He says right after it, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. How many times have you said to yourself, all right, that's it. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm done with that. No ability to stop the indulgence of the flesh. Right? I'm sick of the way I keep. I'm not. This time I'm. Right? And we keep putting a bigger exclamation point at the end of it every time we're talking. And we're thinking like, that way I'll definitely get through to it. And we're just trying to muscle it home. And Colossians says real clearly, listen to me. That's not going to stop the indulgence of the flesh. Remember we talked about mind, flesh, and spirit, right? And what's the flesh doing? Banging on the mind all the time saying, you so want this. It's so going to taste good. You so want to go after. The flesh is going to keep banging. And so here we are trying to teach our mind to scream back, no! But nothing's been transformed. And over time, the mind breaks down. We end up making the same decision we made before. Heart's in the same spot. And that we muscled it for a short season. It says right after it in Galatians 3, oh, foolish Galatians, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you hearing it? Is it works or is it faith? Like, how were you saved? And the answer is faith, right? Saved by faith as we trust in Jesus Christ. So his follow through, are you so foolish? Paul's not pulling any punches here. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And the answer is no. We're not going to be perfected by trying to send the flesh against the flesh. It doesn't get it done. Okay? Works do not transform. The glory of the Holy Spirit does. Period. Got to get that done. Now, I put a little definition of the word transform there. You see it right next to it there on letter B? Works do not transform. Make different in kind. That's what transforming is. Taking us from one kind to the next. Shaping in you. Making you other. Right? That's what's happening in transformation. Is you're making it a different kind. Only the Holy Spirit can do that work. That is a divine work. Okay, that's in the letter B there. Are you seeing it? Number 3B. And it's just right in the middle of it, the definition. Here we go to letter C now. Works do strengthen. Works do strengthen. And notice after that when I put same in kind, it's not changing the kind, but it is making stronger. Okay? Big deal. You get that difference? So transforming is changing the kind, one degree of glory to the next. But works do strengthen within the kind. Okay, and the verse I used here, Revelation 3, is a big deal. One of the letters to the churches, he says, wake up and strengthen what remains. Are you hearing it? Put your effort on this, man. Cooperate with. God's given you some things. Use that and strengthen that. God's calling us to some work there. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. I'm telling you that for me, and probably for some of you tonight, this is going to be the biggest deal about works that you have to lock in on. It does not transform. Well, then what good is it? Well, then why am I even about works at all? It does play a role in strengthening, like within the degree of glory God sets you at in that area, he's strengthening and you're strengthening as you cooperate with, right? And you're working together and seeing some progress. You're doing some things at that level with him. All right, but you're not able to bust through to the next. Have you ever been trying to work on things? You're seeing victory and growth, and that's cool. And all of a sudden, you're like brick wall. Can't get through, man. And what's going on? And how come I can't see any more progress? And well, that very well could be one of those moments where it's time for you need one degree of glory to the next. You're like trying to muscle what you have, and you need the Holy Spirit and His glory to be taking you up to the next notch. Okay? Illustration for it. John and I talked about it this week. This is probably the best illustration I can give. So I was born with just one finger on my left hand, okay? And so this is like 1960s technology. Doctors built three more fingers, okay? And so they did that in the 60s, and then I was able to do some grasping. I'm telling you, until they added the three fingers, there was no gripping. Period. Once I had fingers, then it was, okay, I'm going to need you to do some exercising and some strengthening with this. You're going to need to do these things repeatedly, and I'm going to need you to use it in this way. And I could start growing strength in what they've now given. I'm telling you, no matter how hard I tried to strengthen, I would not add the three fingers to my hand. Doctors did that through surgery. The divine surgery in your soul, taking you from one degree of glory to the next. You can't do a thing about it. It's God and His glory that does it. But once He's given you that, you can cooperate with and strengthen that which He's given you, okay? And then He can take you all the more along the way. More and more glory, more and more ability. And then you working within that to see some strengthening, cooperating with Him. Are you getting that? Seeing some inquisitive looks like, I got to think that through for a minute. That is a huge deal. If you see the role of works, nothing to do with salvation, nothing to do with transformation, but everything to do with cooperation, just strengthening that which He's given me, now we get it. Okay? Does everybody get that? I'm not moving on until we get that. Does everybody get that? Yeah. All right. That's what we're talking about. So now you have to start thinking through within yourself. Well, what's that look like? Transformed. Like now I'm actually starting to get a passion for this area of ministry. I never had that before. One degree of glory to the next. And I begin to exercise into that area and serving like within a children's arena and working with kids and helping do some teaching. And I start seeing God's word making sense to that age and right. And now I'm starting to strengthen in that and pour that on. And I'm starting to see more of who God is. And He pours on again. And I'm transformed from one degree of glory to even another. And now I'm starting to get that all the more. Are you seeing it? A cooperation is the strengthening. Okay. Enough said there. Letter D. Action offered to Him is worship in motion. Action offered to Him is worship in motion. Romans chapter 12, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay? Spiritual act of worship. That's what it's all about, is you actively pursuing your God being pleased as you say, Lord, I just want to do this for you. Okay? That's what it looks like. Works. Remember, we're talking through what do we do with works? How does that work as we're engaging? Letter E. This is a big one. Trying and failing leads me back to Him in worship. Trying and failing leads me back to Him in worship. Not me, Tim. It doesn't lead me back to him in worship. It leads me to the corner wishing that I wasn't such a ding-dong. And I'm constantly saying to myself, how could I repeat that again? And what am I thinking about? And okay, so you go through that season. Woe is me. I'm not perfect. Okay, right? Because isn't that really what we're saying? I can't believe I'm not perfect. I thought I was perfect. And now I just showed I'm not perfect, not even in that area. And man, we got to get over ourselves. Everybody just say, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Okay. And so, Lord, what do you need to show me that needs to be worked on that you could be transforming me in? Trying and failing leads me back to him in worship. Psalm 51 is just huge. And John 16, I just wrote here. And when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict you. The Holy Spirit pressing in. And then Psalm 51 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. So imagine yourself now busted in one of the biggest sins of your life. Think back in your life. What sin are you wishing never happened? David now with his. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Isn't that so true? We're like filthy sick of what we know about ourselves. And we wish that wasn't true, and we wish it wasn't right before us. And here's the worship moment. David now turns the corner. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Against you and you only have I sinned. Do you hear the worship that he just turned on? As we wrestle with our failure, there is a point, God willing, sooner than later, okay, where we need to come to the end of ourselves and see how awesome he is. That's what has to happen. And Psalm 51 worship is, Lord, it is not about me. And we're on our knees and we're weeping and we're done. And it's so about you, God. And I want you to take this over. And I'm done with the battling with it where I'm trying to make it happen. Lord, you're the one I've sinned against. May I stop acting like I've sinned against me. Right? That's what we're doing when we're walking around going, oh, I should have had this. We're like acting like I sinned against myself. Like, oh, I'm the one that was wronged. You got in the way of the worship to the Almighty King. Get back to that worship with him. All right? As we're called to that worship, look what he says in the end. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret of my heart. As we hand it back over to God, he starts teaching you things you could never learn on your own. He starts taking you to levels you could never get to. Failure is a huge part of our growth. It teaches us the end of ourself and the beginnings of our need for God. Grab onto him with all you've got. Matt Chandler uses an illustration, and we brought it up in our impact group last week, but it's a strong illustrate. And one of my favorites is, you ever seen like a one-year-old starting to learn to walk, right? And as they're standing up and they like grab the edge of a table and they're starting to lift up and you're like, ah, they're like on the edge of the table. And what if they fall and they could like gash their, right? And you're looking at them and they turn around and they start to take those first steps and then they're like, bang, they're down, right? Well, what's the first thing they do? They're like right back over trying to do it again, man, right? Standing up and they're trying to go for the walk and take those steps. And every parent, when they see the steps, they're like, oh, look. He's like almost walking, man. And the kid takes like one step and he's wiped out, right? And we're like, that's so awesome. Did you see? My kid, he's like going to be a genius runner. He took a step, right? That's what we do, isn't it? How many parents go like this? Oh, that's it? One step and you fall. You're not mine. That must come from the other side, right? Don't do that. We know they're learning. And in each step is a learning process. And isn't that exactly where God is with us? As he gives us this new degree of glory and this new area to be walking in. And he knows we have absolutely no skill set. And we wipe out and we fall on the ground. He's not standing over the top going, oh, come on. He's standing over the top going, I know, you can do it. and here we go, and I'm going to be working with you, and let's do this thing together. And failure is just an opportunity for us to recognize how much we need our King to get back with Him and to get standing back up. That's what it's all about. Trying and failing needs to lead us back to worship. All right? Letter F. Expect a war when it comes to works. Your flesh will fight, but thanks to God, we have hope. Expect a war when it comes to works. Your flesh will fight, but thanks to God, we do have hope. This comes right out of Romans chapter 7. We just did it 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning. So I find it to be a law. Right? This is how consistent it was. Paul's like, that's it. I'm calling it a law. It happens all the time. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. And how often we get to that spot, right? Where we're declaring the patheticness of our condition and how much we wish we weren't falling down or fighting with our spouse or yelling at our kids or failing in our endeavors at work or whatever it might be. And oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Here we go. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. This is right back to that drawing. The mind on top, flesh and spirit. And the flesh and spirit are battling. Here's the deal that you've got to get. And we said this back on that Sunday. Look what he says. I serve the law of God. My flesh serves the law of sin. Are you hearing the distinction that he's making? When we're saved, we're allowed to call out the I to be the part of the mind and spirit God is transforming. The I that wants to run after God with all we've got. And the flesh is banging in. And there's that weakness in us that's falling to it. That part's being transformed. Just hang on. The I is getting to be more like Christ. Okay? I, more like Him, and my flesh, just so you know, is never ever promised to ever be transformed or reduced. Your flesh will always be there and will always be banging. The war is on. And when we get transformed, we are literally learning to ignore the flesh. That's what we're learning to do. Okay? So expect a war when it comes to works. Your flesh will fight. But thanks be to God, we have hope. Okay? All right, letter G. He has already declared you righteous. This is what we would call justification. Now He is working it out in you. These next two are mindset. We have to keep this in mind. You are already declared what you are not. And He's now going to work it out in you. And as we go after these works, whatever they might be, as we see the sin that needs to go and the stuff that we could bring in, and this is all about a cooperation with Him that God might get the glory. Remember, works do not change the kind. They simply help strengthen that which is there. God is doing the work to bring in the new kind, transforming you from one degree of glory to the next. It's His work. Lean on Him, worship Him, and watch Him do an amazing work in you and change you. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Letter H. There is no condemnation to come, just worshipful transformation. No condemnation, just worshipful transformation. This comes from Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Let me say it again, different words. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He has this with you. He loves you, and He's working through it with you. God has declared of you what you could never do alone, and He loves you enough to now be making good on that promise and walking you through. There is no condemnation, just transformation after transformation after transformation. And here's the beauty of it. There will be a day, whether we pass away or we're raptured home, where all of a sudden we are in glory and this flesh is shucked. And in that moment, the ultimate moment of transformation occurs, finally taking us to perfection. And in that moment, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like to no longer be bound by sin, to be lifting him up as we, for the first time ever, with complete selflessness, worship him. That's the process we're on. Absolute transformation. Glorification at the end. Our God getting all the glory. And that's the path he's taking us. Don't lose sight of that. Every moment we're going after change, every little thing you need to go after in your home, maybe you're a mom who wishes you were not going after the kids the way you were. Maybe you're a dad who wishes you were a little more careful with the words you used with your spouse. Maybe you're a coworker who is just not getting the effort that needs to be put in and you need to get the laziness set aside and your God shown off. It's time for us to say, God, transform me. I'm going to behold you with all I've got, and I know you're about doing all the work, and I'm so ready for you to do it, and let's go after this thing. There is no condemnation. Amen? That's our hope. Letter I. Engaging and growing allows us to know him and his character more. Engaging and growing allows us to know him and his character more. I'm just going to read the last part of 2 Peter 1 here. Notice it says, and godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. He's got this whole list. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the knowledge of works, not in the knowledge of my own character, in the knowledge of Jesus himself. You actually get to know him more personally as you work with him, as you see him change you, as you experience him changing you. That's what's going on here. You get to engage and grow, and then you get to learn more of him and his character. That's the privilege we have. Know him. Today we were at a funeral for a little one who was born last Friday night and was only on this earth for 2 hours. It's a hard time. And a painful time for the family. She was born, Lucy was born way early. It was a tough, tough time for the family. The pastor was speaking today, just did a fantastic job sharing. One of the challenges he wrote down or he said was, listen, we have the opportunity not to know about him, but to know him. To know him. And he said, As we behold him entering our world, changing our world, shaking us to the core, that's when we begin to know him in an earth-shattering way. His description as he talked about little Lucy and the amount of people that have come together on that and the caring that has gone on and the growing that God has done and are those moments we would vote to go through? No. And yet God does grow us through those things as he shows us himself and he walks with us through it. And we can know him as we grow. Huge opportunity. Huge. Letter J. Our attitudes and actions can allow us to be a light. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Your actions, your attitudes can shine on Jesus Christ like nothing else. Make sure you reflect him well. Like you have a great opportunity in your worship to be showing him off to those around you. To shine as lights, all right? That's a lot of little truths about the works that I wanted to make sure we got. It's like set the foundation before we talk about what we're going to do with works, all right? So let's just get the foundation and understand it real well, and I want to say this one more time. Works do not transform. They follow after worship, and they're only to strengthen what God has already given. Are you hearing me? Works do not transform. they follow after and they're meant to strengthen what God has given, His glory poured onto us, changing us from one degree of glory to the next. We get that. We will never jump from word to work again. Where's my worship and what's God doing? Okay? That's where we need to be. All right. That is a fast-paced foundation of works that really requires 5 weeks, and we did it in 45 minutes. All right? A little less. Now, steps to engaging the will. What are we going to do? How do we go after this? It's all great, Tim. Nice facts. I still don't know what to do. And so let's talk about some steps and let's get pretty practical with it here, all right? Letter A, be filled. Have you heard that before? Please, be filled. There is no stepping out without being filled. This is not about you proving what you have all on your own. This is about proving who God is. Be filled. Let Him absolutely pour over you. You confessing what needs to go. I wrote here, what's true about my God? That's the inhaling, right? What's true about Him? What have I learned in Scripture? What have I seen in this world? What's true about Him? And what must be confessed? If you want to start going after victory in your life over sin, you're going to have to actually answer these questions. Writing them down, reflecting on them, and bringing them before Him. This isn't a little mental gyration, and then you go home and you're like, I don't know, we'll see if it works. It kind of poured over me, and now I'm going to sit for a few days and we'll see if it magically changes me. It won't. It's going to be you deciding to put some of these questions to task on your heart, okay? What about God and what's true about Him that's blowing you away? And what do you need to be confessing? Start getting real with Him. Be filled. Okay, be honest. What sin must go? What replaces it that honors God? Be honest. What sin must go and then what replaces it? That's letter B. What sin must go and what replaces it that honors God? Here's the deal. You have something you're struggling with. I have no idea what it is, but you're struggling with something. Maybe multiple somethings. And whatever it is, there's a something else that needs to replace it that will be such a godly divine character, such an expression of Him at work in you that you can be putting that on, if you want to say it that way. The terms in Colossians and Ephesians are put off, put on. It's a clothing term. Get that off of you. It's filthy rags and put this on. It's glorious and new. And what does that look like as you go after it? And I'm just going to be honest, be really careful with the put off, put on. You can very quickly get into trying to muscle in action. There's a heart behind it all that needs to be managed. And what's going on in me that would so want that sin? So here's an easy one. Let's say I'm struggling with a bad attitude. And I don't know what to do with it. And I'm just telling you, work's ticking me off. And right now, my friends are ticking me off, and my kids ticking me off, my dog ticks me off, and church ticks me off, and I'm ticked off. That's where I'm at. I got a bad attitude, and I'm just telling you that the replacement of that biblically is simple and impossible on your own. It's thankfulness. It's, Lord, what have you given in the midst of this that's going well? And now you walking over and going, that's it, I'm just going to be thankful. Pretty soon you're going to be like, I'm sick of being thankful. That's how it's going to work, man. It's just going to collapse. You can't just make yourself. But seeing what it's going to look like. Lord, here's where I'm at. Nothing is good. And here's where I want to be. I see your hand in it. And while stuff is still wrong, I see you in it. I'm going after that. By the way, number one mistake in all of our church life experience is that. The not thankful to thankful move. For all of us, we start in there. Just so you know, there's a root cause that's almost always not thankful. And then we start spiraling out. And so be thinking, God, what should I be thankful for? Where do I see you working? What are you doing? And now you start going into this prayerfully, worshipfully, saying, Lord, I'm ready for you to help me go after that. And well, what are some other examples? I wrote them down here. And let's just jump into the Ephesians 4 one. It says, to put off your old self and to put on the new self. Verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Be angry, do not sin. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor. Are you hearing it? Don't steal, work. That's a nice fix, right? And do honest work with your own hands. No corrupting talk with your mouth, but only such as is good for building up. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another. Are you hearing it? Done with this, on with this. Okay? The job is not for you to go, okay, I just read it, the word. Now I'm going to go do it. Do you see how I just failed? Now it's taking it to the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, I'm being honest with you. Here's where my sin is. I confess that. I so worship the fact that you are awesome and kind and forgiving yourself. That you, in this area of my sin, I see how you express out, how patient you are with me. Are you seeing how I'm being filled even in the moment of what I'm struggling with? Do you see what I'm talking about? Take your sin and where it needs to head and make that what you're now worshiping him about. You're spending time with him, beholding him, learning of him. You're letting God pour over you in that area. And he's going to be revealing to you, maybe through the word, maybe through some things that come up in the home, maybe through it's just in a prayer time piece as you get a clarity to things. And now you're like, I feel like out of this worship, God's calling me to get back with my wife and say, I'm sorry. To get over with my kids and just hug them. To spend a little time being thankful for what God's given me and just be in awe of what he's doing right now. You see what I'm talking about? Take what you're struggling with and replace it with what it needs to be. Okay, Lord, that's the gap. That's where I have to head. Worshiping him is what's going to bridge it and get you there. Okay? Number one mistake is my effort will get me there. Doesn't transform me. That's why we always get frustrated. Worshiping him. Spending time with him. This one can be some of the most subtle work you ever do in your own life. The most introspective work that you ever do. If you ever need help and you want to sit down with some pastors or a counselor and talk things through and try to get to the bottom of things, great. I would love to be doing that with you. All right? We'd love to be able to get some of our other pastors and counselors with you. Let's do something where together we can go through that, where you're getting the put off to the put on, what it should look like, and then how I can be worshiping God in the midst to see that happen. All right? Huge deal. Be honest. Worshiping your God with what you bring him. It's amazing what he can do. All right. At that point, you're going to be kind of propelled into some action. And I just wrote this down, letter C, be preventive. What fence lines must be set up and what is my way of escape? What fence lines must be set up and what is my way of escape? Fence lines. Comes out of 1 John 2. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. It says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. Like what looks good, what feels good, and what shows me off. The world is going to be banging in on you. Okay? And it's setting up healthy fence lines. Like, I'm not turning that channel on TV. Ever. Fence line. Right? Like, I'm not going to go down that path of practicing that kind of language or talking that way with my friends or sharing in the gossip that way that tears somebody else down or fence lines. Right? Or just so you know, like, here's a fence line we have on staff. Like, myself, I will not be in the car with a member of the opposite sex by myself except for my spouse or my kids. Like, it's not going to be me and some other girl going for a ride. Where are we going? Oh, we were going out to lunch. We were going to be my wife. Not cool. Okay? We're not going to break down those kinds of things. And hey, just so you know, nowhere does it say sin to be in the car with somebody of the opposite sex, not thine spouse. Right? That was King James for you, for those who don't know. And it doesn't say that, right? But I'm telling you, that's a protective fence line to make sure we never even get there. Okay? We're just being careful with that. And our staff goes through that. We're cautious with it and respect you guys in doing that as well as respecting our family in doing that. Fence lines. Be wise to it. Okay? So that's a fence line. That's what we mean by fence lines. And then what is my way of escape? That's the second question here. Big deal. 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. In the midst of your temptation, note this, it's normal, number one. And number two, there is a way out, period. There is a way out every time. God will provide a way to escape. And it's just like when we get on the airplane, you know, and there's the exits, and the lady stands up front, and they start pointing. You know what I mean? And everybody stops listening right away. We check out, right? We were on the airplane. We were going down to Florida for our senior pastor trip back here in January. And the girl that was talking up front, we were in the second row of a fairly small plane. So we're in the second row. She's like pretty close. And the guys in the front row are just talking out loud. Oh, I know what you mean, man. And they're talking back and forth. And she gets on them and she starts talking it through. The exits are in the back. And they're laughing and joking out loud. So loud. I'm like, how can she even concentrate? As she's walking through her and the mask will come down and you need to, right? She's going through all their stuff. And you could see her finally, she's starting to break a smile. She can't handle it. She's like, these guys are punks, you know? And she's trying to continue to talk. Now she catches eyes with me and my wife. Sitting in the second row like good students. Oh, I didn't know that before. Good to know. And right, we're sitting there trying to help her. We're like so hurting for her, right? And she gets done. They're still talking. And I look at her. I'm like, can you imagine that job? And I'm just telling you, that's God's job with us most of the time. He's talking and he's pointing out where the temptation's coming from and where the exits are. And we're like, oh, totally, I know what you mean. Right over the top, ignoring everything being said. And the exits are being pointed out. And what is your way of escape? You know your sin. You be a master of that way of escape. You know it ahead of time. You know what you need to do. And you get on taking that thing when you feel the temptation rising up. You know what's wrong, and when that flesh starts screaming in, oh, but it feels so good if, you already know that language, just turn and say, way of escape. Scripture never asks you to stand firm against your own flesh. It asks you to flee. Did you know that? Flee from youthful lusts. So that's the way you're doing the talk to the hand. Talk to this while I'm running. Way out over here. Okay? All too often we stand up against the flesh and the only thing we're asked to stand up against is Satan with the word of God. Just so you know. Not standing up against your own flesh, get out. God gave you a way of escape. Use it. Be an expert of your sin. Be an expert of the way to escape. Most of our sin can be stopped with a worship up front and a plan of getting out. And we can start seeing progress. Let me rephrase that or restate that because that was a big deal moment. Most of our sin, you can have victory over it with some worship up front and knowing and having a plan for a way to escape, getting around, out, or through it, and getting past. God will strengthen you up in due time. Do not try to stand against it in the battle. All right? And what if my problem is yelling at my kids and there's nobody else there and my way to escape is to leave the house? What do I do then? And I know at least three or four of you thought that right here, right? I know you already thought it. And so all I can say is those are hard moments, right? Where our way to escape might need to be a very short break. You might need a deep breath moment. Like one of those moments where the bathroom door closes and you're like, Mommy needs a second. You're allowed to have those little comments for a moment. Please don't leave the kid unattended for an hour. You know what I'm saying? Like you need to get back at the care and you are called to tough situations where sometimes it's hard to bail out. But being able to take that breath where you can just get a moment and then ease back in on it. All right? That's how God works with us and grows us. Okay. Be filled, be honest, be preventive. This one, rather train yourself for godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7. Be dedicated. Out of the moment, what can I go after to build a strength and starve a weakness? Out of the moment, what can I go after to build a strength and starve a weakness? I just wrote, be dedicated, right? This is what we would call spiritual disciplines. Many of you have heard of this. Everybody hear me now. I need y'all looking up here for a second. You ready? Spiritual disciplines have been the most overused tool in the church to abuse and hurt individuals in the last decade or century, really. It's been brutal. And so be careful. Spiritual disciplines, I'm all for going after some things. You see the lists here. Here's right below it. The disciplines for engagement, like getting after some things like worship and study and prayer and serving others. By the way, worship, walk, work, witness. Do you see those falling out? This is a list I pulled right off of, I forget which of the spiritual disciplines books. But it's worship, walk, work, and witness. Man, if you engage in becoming a complete disciple like we preach around here from Scripture, you're going to already be doing the disciplines of engagement. Okay? Now you're looking for those special opportunities where you may be able to go and focus on one specific area a little more. Okay? And train out of a moment for something. The disciplines of abstinence, solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, that's like living on less, chastity, taking a time apart intimately from your spouse, sacrifice, right? These are big moments. The abstinence is not meant to beat your flesh into submission. Everybody hear me? The abstinence is not meant to beat your flesh into submission. What is it for then? The abstinence is two-part. It's going to show you where you break down. That's the abstinence. It's going to show you where you break down. Remember, we try and fail, it leads us back to worship. Okay, it's going to show you where you break down. And then the other part is, it's going to teach you to get an appetite for another area. So you can actually stop eating food at lunch for whatever, say 24 hours you go without food, but instead you're going after a deep time of prayer during that time. You're teaching your body and your system to hunger for Him and set aside the food and ignore that pang. Okay? So you are teaching yourself appetite in it. And you're also teaching yourself to get back to Him and where your shortcomings are. All right? Spiritual disciplines. The books will say words like this. If you look at a spiritual disciplines book, it'll say stuff like, the ability is in you. You just need to unlock it as, please do not. I'm telling you, that is right back at you. Can work it out. You can do it yourself. Be so careful. The only way the spiritual disciplines work is if they are expressions of your worship. Are you hearing that? And man, you can have some spiritual discipline expression of worship that is off the charts. Or you can have spiritual discipline expression that is nothing but abusive of you and the friends around you. Watch out. Spiritual disciplines can be used greatly and dynamically and worshipfully. But God better be at the center of that thing. And if you're at the center of it, Colossians 2, it's done. Asceticism, throw it out. Okay? Clear enough on that? I want to be very careful we don't go running off into some activities that start beating us back into workspace transformation. Okay? All right. Last one. Be patient and worshipful, all for His glory. All for Your glory, Lord. I love Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance that race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Huge. Patient and worshipful. As we go after that activity that is designed for the sin I fall in and what it needs to look like as it's replaced. God, I'm worshiping You in all of this, that You might get the glory. All right? That's what it looks like for us to go over it. I'm just going to say this. I want to go back over this one more time before we jump. There's two pages here. I don't want to spend a lot of time on them, but I wanted that info thrown out to you. All right? Everybody take a deep breath right where you are. All right. We have just spent 3 weeks looking at the worship that is absolutely unlocking the key and the word and the will that can partner with it. And those together can give you something you may have never experienced before. Or you may have experienced it, but you couldn't explain how you got in that rhythm and it was working, and then you got out of that rhythm. And you're like, what was it that was working? And I'm telling you this. Encounter your God in the Word. Stunned with Him. And then, Lord, what do I need to know of You? What sin needs to go in me? I confess that out. I'm celebrating who You are. I'm just drinking You in, being filled with You in this area of my sin. This is how awesome You are. My problem, anger and aggressiveness, You are gentle and tender and kind. And Lord, I'm going after that now. I want to see that in me. Your Spirit changing me. And now I worship You in that area of gentleness. In my rebellion, how easily you could step against me, but you don't. You work with me. And Lord, I'm celebrating you for it. Are you seeing how my worship starts building out of my sin? Man, you let your sin drive you to your knees in worship of him, and you will behold his glory. It will rock your world. As you start seeing how he talks to you and works with you, and you get what it needs to now be, now you're going after it. Okay, God, that's what it looks like. I'm worshiping you. I get that. So my next step is I go out, I'm getting things right with my wife. Here we go. And we open the door and we step out and we begin to do a little bit of will engaged, worship driven, going after strengthening what he's given me. God, may you be glorified as I cooperate with you. Let's get this done that you might be glorified. Worship. Worship in time in the Word. Worship as you behold his glory. Worship as you engage your will. And God starts doing an amazing work in your life. That's what we're going after. And yes, you will get frustrated 3 days in or 5 days in or 10 days in or 2 weeks in. When you get frustrated, I'm just telling you, at that moment, you were crying out, I thought I was all about me again. And it's time to set that back down and go, okay, back to my worship of you. How consistent you are, how loving you are, how awesome you are. I'm ready to put this thing right in your lap. And from now on, every sin I own is yours. And what needs to be changed? And watch God move you through that, through your worship of him. Don't ever lose that word, through your worship of him. It will change everything. All right? That is one fired up dude doing that stuff. And you get fired up that way, it's going to spill. And that's what these next two pages are about. Just what do I do with it? God is not looking for you to have a mountaintop experience so that you can sit in your home by yourself and go, I'm so fired up. This is great. I should like write it down or something. God's calling for you to get out and share it. Okay? So two pages real quick. I don't want to spend a ton of time here. This is not the main focus. But when we talk contagious, how does your church grow? You know how many times I've had that asked of me? How in the world do you grow your church? Is it because you went to two services? Is it because you built a building? Is it because? And you know what they never asked? Is it because everybody's like on fire and they're worshiping Christ and they're excited about it and they're telling their friends and people want that? Nobody has ever guessed that. Why is that, man? I'm telling you, that is how it works. You on fire, and then sharing it with those around you, okay? So here we go. Share the fire in the church. Iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27. This could not be a better verse for our impact groups, life on life, accountability. Partner with others seeking to be fired up. Partner with others seeking to be fired up. Do not do this thing alone. Get in an impact group. You want to be with us. You want to be partnering with and moving through together. Okay, partner with. Letter B. Be faithful in attending church and in encouraging each other to run hard after our King. In attending church and encouraging each other. Oh, you made that up, Tim. Are you saying the Bible actually says to attend church? Yeah, it actually does. Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do not neglect the gathering together of the assembly. Absolutely get together for church, man. There is something going on in the corporate expression that God does. He works in this place. And as the Spirit starts moving amongst hundreds of adults, God does amazing things. And man, we had 11 saved 2 weeks ago. We have, I don't even know the number right now, 48, 49 that have said they want to be baptized. And we're working through all that. And some that goes up and down. So who knows where we'll end up. But somewhere in the 30s or 40s for baptism is amazing. God's doing a work. That's just in these 2 weeks right here in this service. And you don't want to miss out on church. It's an impact service. Holy Spirit moving. Letter C. Power worship and power time in the Word in a corporate setting allows God to work on the hearts of all present. Power worship and power time in the Word in a corporate setting allows God to work on the hearts of all present. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, and it could not define better what we're doing on a Sunday morning. All right, this is what we're going after. Impact service. But if all prophesy, and that word basically means like sharing forth the truth of God and who he is, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he, that unbeliever, is convicted by all. They walk in and they're like, look at all the people on fire. Something's going on in this place, right? He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. That's a good Sunday. That's what we're going after every single week. Lord, may that be the declaration of anyone coming to visit this place. Surely God's hand is on this place. And Lord, help us stay out of the way. May you be celebrated. All right? That's a power church right there. And what's secret church look like? Dude, it needs to be that. That's secret church. Being on fire so that when somebody comes in, they see God himself moving. All right? And letter D. Make complete disciples by teaching them to obey and by baptizing. And now this is a passage we use a lot. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Okay? Make complete disciples. So how do I share it in the church? Partnering, impact groups. Be faithful in attending the church. Power, worship, and time in the Word. This huge impact service expression together. Corporately, on fire. That's how we start sharing this thing. And then making complete disciples as we work together. That's how we share it in the church. All right? It's the plan. It's that simple. All right. Last one, share the fire in the community. How do we go beyond the church walls? Well, sometimes they come inside the church walls, right? Like the one passage we saw, and the unbeliever walks in, and that's great when that happens. But that shouldn't be your only plan, right? So, this comes out of Colossians 4. I'm not going to spend a ton of time, but I'm just going to fill in the blanks for you. Letter A, prayer. Ask God for open doors to share. Witnessing is a ministry, and it's God's work. He's tearing the veil off the eyes. He's revealing who he is. He's showing them what's going on. He's transforming them from no glory to some glory. Okay? So be praying for where God's at work and what he wants done. Lord, this is your work. Where do you want me to go? Prayer. And he just says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door. Huge prayer. Letter B, proclamation. Faithfully, clearly, and vulnerably present Jesus Christ as Savior. It says in verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am a prisoner. To declare the mystery of Christ. Proclamation. You must be ready to share, not about the scriptures, not about Christianity, not about doctrines and truisms, not about apologetics. Proclaim Christ. You've got to be able to share who Jesus Christ is and how he's rocking you. And if you're doing this word, worship, will thing, and God's starting to pour through you, and your worship is lighting you up, and you're fired up for God, I'm telling you, people are going to want to know what you got going on. You're sharing what Christ is doing in you, who he is. You're sharing the person of Christ. All right? That's the proclamation. Letter C, preparation. That I might make it clear. You won't make it clear if you try to wing it in the moment. So take some time. I put these down here. I really like you to take some time and fill these out. The questions that were there, like, what sin am I struggling with? Back a few pages, right? Fill those questions out. Take some time on this. Really spend time with this and make it your worship throughout the week this next week. But this one here, fill out in your testimony. What was life like before Christ? See on letter C, number one there? What was life like before Christ? And how and when did I come to trust Christ? Be able to answer these questions. Tell a little story. Write it out in 2-3 sentences so you kind of could tell the story pretty quick. Well, you know, I mean, I was born and raised in a Christian home, but I didn't really understand what was going on. And right? And then God brought me to the end of through this situation where, and I trusted Christ as my Savior when, right? Clarity. And make sure you're making it clear that it's Jesus Christ, hope in him, his shed blood on the cross. Clarity. Okay? And then what's life like with Christ now? Man, here's where God's rocking me. I'm worshiping him and I'm seeing things like I never saw before. You fill in these three questions and you can answer them. It will rock the person next to you as you're real about who God is and God starts using that in their life. All right? Be prepared. Know how to answer that. And I put some verses down. This just comes right off of our gospel deep thing. Romans 3:23 is the problem, right? We talked about this on Sunday. We have trampled his glory. The problem is his glory trampled. And Romans 6:23, A and B are the solution. How many solutions are there to the problem? How many solutions are there to the problem? Right? You got to get this straight. There is one giant solution, but it's two parts. How many solutions are there? There's the guy who doesn't listen, and that's hell bound. And God's glory with his wrath poured out. And then the second part of the solution is, and those who do believe in eternal life, and that's his mercy poured out. God's glory through wrath and mercy. Two parts. That solution has two parts. I wrote it down right here for you, so you didn't have to write it down and try to remember what I was saying, all right? It's two parts, part A and B there, and get them right. There's wrath and mercy. And then the steps to salvation is Romans 10, 9 and 10. Believe and confess. Okay? Last one, letter D, perception. Live in a way that your words and actions are a help, not a hindrance. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer. Your speech, your time, your words. Prayerfully, openly, wisely ready to answer, letting God rock you each moment as you struggle with your sin and you release it to him and you worship him all the more. We are the toddlers learning to walk, taking one step away from the door, from the table, and God celebrating when we're taking those steps. As we fall, get back to him, confess it out, and get up and get going again with him. It's that simple. All right? Clear? Okay.